Do you remember where you were on Thursday, August the 24th, 2006? For me, I was waiting for Elizabeth, our oldest, to be born. I had just directed a vacation Bible school of about 450 children, and I put my feet up for a little while. And I was watching the news. This is what I heard. The International Astronomical Union gathered in Prague for their annual meeting and decided that Pluto was no longer classified as a planet. This did not make any sense to me. I had been taught that there were nine planets that I was taught my very educated mother just served us nine pizzas, the acronym for how to remember all of the planets, and we were missing. This didn't make any sense. It seemed like my world was turned upside down so quickly. In reality, the International Astronomical Union had been preparing us for this for years. If only we had ears to hear it. I wonder if this is how it was for the disciples. For 3 years they had followed and listened to Jesus. And so as they went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, they saw both Jesus and the Roman governor enter. The Roman parade that was a presentation of the governor Pilate with cavalry and foot soldiers, the golden eagle cross of the Roman Empire, pomp and circumstance. As the Jewish people gathered to celebrate their independence from the Egyptians, that is the Passover, the Roman governor reminded them, "You're still under the thumb of Roman authority." Now contrast that parade with like the one we just did with the children, the peasant parade in which Jesus led with a donkey, never ridden, never tested, unpredictable. A king riding a donkey instead of a white steed that was trained for war, the kind that meant a king who was a king of peace. The people laid out their coats and their palm branches, offered the traditional shouts of Hosanna, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. People would have known these were the words from the prophet Zechariah. Jesus was firmly in the line of the prophets. It seemed like the people were finally seeing Jesus as the king that he was. And then it began to change. There were Roman soldiers, and there were Jewish religious officials. There were accusations, and there were beatings. There were trial courts and condemnations. If Jesus was the new power, overturning oppression and corruption, why was he not revolting during the trials? If he was the king, why was he calm in the beatings? Why was he being condemned to die? This wasn't at all what Jesus said. Or was it? These are the kind of prayers that we also pray when life changes too quickly for us to understand. It's the kind of prayer we offer when we've just been talking to someone who seems so healthy, and the next moment we rush them to the hospital. It's the kind of prayer we pray when it feels like our marriage was doing okay, not great, but okay, and all of a sudden we're discussing separate residences. This is the kind of prayer we offer when the bottom falls out and we can't figure out
what, where to go next. This is when life changes so quickly. We can't walk the tightrope anymore. And we suffer whiplash from trying to figure out which way to go next. If we're honest, most of us, this is the kind of prayer we don't offer. Most of the time, we want answers we can give to God. So we find ourselves tongue-tied and confused. We're not exactly sure what to ask our friends to pray for, so we make half-hearted jokes and sarcasm and say, "I guess it's a mess," and hope they have something to offer to us. It's this kind of moment that led me to this whole series on prayer. It was a conversation with an older gentleman who was at the end of his days. You know the kind, who'd been real successful in life and seemed like the model of faith. He was always giving of himself, serving others, and talking about how Jesus was his inspiration. So it was a surprise to me when I visited him in his last days, and he didn't want prayer. He deferred politely, of course, and informed me he didn't see a real reason to pray. There was nothing that would change, he told me. Nothing to get real excited about. As we chatted further, because you know I wanted to know more at this point, it seemed he had never experienced any incredible changing power of God. Prayer at its heart is a recognition that God can and does change us and events. God who moves among us, the power of the Holy Spirit that can move over chaos and bring forth order in cosmic and individual ways. In the midst of our what, we need God more, as we can't even articulate the words of what comes after the what. We're not sure what to say. We need the presence of God, the movement of the Holy Spirit, and the sacrificial example of Christ in those moments most. So, whether you're journeying this week through a liturgical Holy Week, or you have your own personal experience of Holy Week, we find ourselves wondering, is this how it must unfold? Do we need to move from excitement and praise, that Palm Sunday moment, to betrayal and abandonment, to pain and death, in order to find the empty tomb and resurrection? Here, my friends, is where we turn again to God in prayer, not because we understand it perfectly, don't get me wrong, but because we lean on the architect of eternity. As Jesus walks with us in the midst of our confusion and drastic life shifts, this week, we walk with Jesus in the twists and the turns, the pain and the suffering, knowing, we know how this story ends, knowing that the best is still yet waiting for us on the other side with an empty tomb. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.